More than 1 million Americans are diagnosed with cancer annually, and more than half of all cancer patients receive radiation therapy at some point during their treatment. Radiation destroys cancer cells or slows their growth rate by applying high-energy rays to tumors. Belul Saka, who recently completed his doctorate in industrial engineering at the University of Arkansas, is a research scientist who helped develop mathematical optimization models that will make radiation treatment plans safer and more efficient than conventional plans. Saka worked under the direction of Ron Reardon, Distinguished Professor of Industrial Engineering. Radiation oncologist Dr. Mark Langer of Indiana University also contributed clinical expertise to the research. Reardon has been working on radiation planning optimization along with his students for more than a decade. He says while a dissertation requires a lot of advanced academic research, it can be fun.
I always say it's like, I like to compare it to gold mining, in that you dig and you dig and you dig and all you get is dirty. And then one day you break through and there's this glittering thing there. And you say, now I understand. And that unfortunately, it doesn't happen every day. But if you keep at it in a disciplined way, you eventually find that gold, and that's what's fun. Those are the moments you remember for the rest of your life.
The researchers achieve optimization in terms of delivering the maximum dose of energy to the tumor without undue risk to surrounding healthy tissues. This research emphasizes the importance of taking into account the changes of a tumor during the course of a radiation treatment.
Unlike a lot of medical treatments, radiation therapy is not done in one session. If you're going to have heart surgery or something, you have one long day, recovery week, and that's it. But this is done in like 25 to 50 sessions, 5 days a week for several weeks. And yet almost all the planning right now starts with computer images of the tissues and develops a plan. And then sticks with it the whole time. Well, during that time, a lot happens, particularly to the tumor. I don't want to get into too much detail here, but the basic issue in this planning is that you literally want to nuke the tumor. You want to get the maximum radiation you can on the tumor. But the tumor is usually in the middle of a lot of other good stuff. And so the trick is to find a way to damage the tumor without doing too much damage to the surrounding tissues.
One of the ways to do that is by delivering beamlets from multiple angles. Reardon explains there is a device that rotates all the way around patients so beams can be directed at them from different angles.
And that means that all those angles hit the tumor, but they hit different good stuff. So the radiation to the good stuff is a lot smaller than what comes to the tumor. So that's one of the basic tools that they use already. But we wanted to think about adjusting the plan as you go along as a consequence of things that have happened to the tumor during the evolution of the treatment. Because tumors shrink, and they also change biologically. And so that should affect the plan. Part of the reason nobody had done much about this until the last few years is that they would take new imaging, and imaging's expensive. But they recently developed pretty cheap imaging tools that you can, and in the process of delivering the radiation and Friday's treatment, you can get a pretty good image that we could use to replan next week. That becomes viable. And so that's most of the Bagwell's piece of it. I had three or four students, but his piece has mostly been about this adaptive element, which only just makes sense when there's 30 sessions, 50 sessions, things have moved.
Reardon explains there are two ways the tumor can change.
One of it is change in shape as some of the tumor dies or at least becomes inactive. The other thing is the biology. This is really not very well understood right now, but we thought we were going to go ahead and experiment with it. The different parts of the tumor have different degrees of oxygen content, oxygenation, and that turns out to affect how they absorb radiation. So if they're highly oxygenated, the radiation really works. If they're with a very low oxygen content, it's very resistant to the radiation. So if you want to kill that spot, you better hit with more radiation. All right? And so you have what we've done is shaped our beams so that they adjust to the oxygen content at different parts of the tumor. And so they target more on the parts that are radiation resistant. And so that's a different kind of adaption.
The development of intensity-modulated radiation therapy, or IMRT for short, has allowed doctors to deliver radiation more precisely.
IMRT, something we didn't invent, but that's a huge step forward because now you don't just have open beams and closed beams. You have shaped beams. In the old days, they actually, when I first went down to Dr. Langer's office, they had a machine shop in the area because they still had to do some shaping. So what they would do is they would have an Antoinette block, which they would shape that cut a certain shape of hole and put that on the front of the beam before they started treating you, because that's the only way they could shape it in those early days. But now they've got this IMRT in the Muldig-Aeff collimator that takes care of all that. So it's an awfully big advance in being precise about what you're hitting.
The way the researchers' optimization models work is through the use of mathematics.
We can formulate this as a system of equations and variables, and then we can solve that, and it will tell us how much to put on each little square in each angle. And at any particular time in the tumor, in the evolution of the treatment. And so given we have the image tells us what is the shape of the tissues, and then exactly where are they in the body. And then the mathematics says, all right, if that's where they are, here's how you should hit them. That's the mathematics that I've done for 40 years, but it's really applicable here, and it's very exciting that it works on something important.
In order for these models to be put into practice, Reardon says they will probably have to be fitted into commercial software used by hospitals. He says there are others working on similar things, and he believes these models will be incorporated into some of the commercial software in the next couple of years. Reardon says he and his students are both excited about how their research could help others.
We feel like we're sort of setting the technology for people to really improve the quality of the delivery of radiation therapy. And that's a very big deal because something like half of all cancer patients get radiation therapy. So it's not like it's a boutique treatment. It's very common. So if it can be improved and made more precise, that's a potential big gain for everybody, or a lot of patients in terms of extended life and, in some cases, life at all, but in other cases, at least more years of good living. And it makes it kind of excited from that point of view, as well as from the mathematical point of view, which is more like what I've been doing most of my career.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.